thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
As this Sunday was approaching with the dedication of little Sophie, I was reminded of a sermon I preached here on Luke chapter 1 at a ladies' meeting in January 2014. And it's a sermon about God hearing a prayer that had been prayed by Zechariah and Elizabeth probably many, many years early. But in God's perfect wisdom and timing, the answer to that prayer was about to be announced. The answer was that Zechariah and Elizabeth were going to have a child in their old age. Not saying that Stephen and Heather are old. Their son, who's going to be called John, we know as John the Baptist, who was going to be a forerunner who prepared the way for Jesus Christ. And I preached that sermon at a ladies' meeting. And I remember so clearly, after the meeting, Joan came to me and spoke to me about the sermon. And she expressed such faith in God that a prayer that she was praying for someone in this situation, she was referring to Stephen and Heather, that they would have a child. And here we are these years later seeing their second child dedicated. It's a wonderful, wonderful morning. You know, sometimes we're better at asking than we are at giving thanks and celebrating the answer to prayer, and maybe particularly when it's such a personal issue. So I felt it was appropriate this morning to go back to that same text, and I'm trusting today that God will use this word to encourage your heart to maybe reignite a spark of faith that may have grown dim as you've been waiting patiently on God to answer a prayer in your own life. So I want you to imagine that you're praying, wherever you pray, maybe lying in your bed, maybe sitting on the settee, maybe driving in your car or sitting at the kitchen table, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appears beside you and says to you, your prayer has been heard. In that split second, would you know what prayer the angel was referring to? Or would you be thinking, well, what prayer? I've prayed literally thousands, maybe even millions of prayer. Or would you know? Would you immediately know what prayer the angel was referring to? The biggest burden on your heart, the thing that you have sought God for, maybe over many years. Take a moment to think about what prayer that would be. The prayer that would be uppermost in your mind if the angel of the Lord appeared beside you today and said, your prayer has been heard. This is exactly what's happening and what happened to a priest called Zechariah. And we're going to read the account of it in Luke's Gospel. It's in Luke chapter 1 from verse 5 through to verse 25. Luke 1, 5 through to 25. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who was belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right-hand side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When the time of his service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." So we get this story into context. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were an oldish couple, don't know exactly how old, living in the hill country near Jerusalem. It was a time when Herod was king of Judea. He was a pretty ruthless Jewish leader, really a puppet king of the Romans. And although he had rebuilt the temple, it wasn't, I would say, for religious reasons. He wasn't a particularly religious man. It was for his own name and reputation. These were difficult days for the Jewish people all around. Life under Roman occupation, dangerous, fraught with political and religious tensions. The last time that God had spoken to his people was 400 years ago. Many of the Jews were asking, why is God remaining silent? Why isn't God speaking to us in our time of need? Many of the leaders, the religious leaders, were corrupt. They were self-seeking rather than being true shepherds of the people of God. But even in the midst of this pretty bleak situation, there was a sense among many Jews that God would soon speak and act again, that he would not forget his people, and that he would send the deliverer, the Messiah. Zechariah and Elizabeth were such a couple. People who were living in faith and in hope. Luke describes them as upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Now, that doesn't mean they were perfect. They weren't perfect. But the orientation of their lives was towards God. They were loving him. They were living in obedience to his ways and his revealed will. That was the primary thing in their lives. They both came from priestly families as well, and Zechariah was a priest. But there was a sadness that marked the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth. There was a very private grief in their lives. Throughout their long marriage, They had been unable to have children. I've known many people, many friends in this situation, and seen something of the private pain and anguish people go through. Even in our modern age, with all the advances in medical knowledge and expertise, there are many couples who still live with the pain of not being able to have children. For people then, as today, it's not something that many people speak openly about. It's a very private suffering. For all of my adult life, I've had the great privilege and also responsibility of being involved with people. And as part of that, I've often seen the private pain and suffering that many people carry in many different situations. Many people carry burdens that are unseen and unknown to others. How encouraging it is that our way is not hidden from the Lord. Every sorrow, every grief, every pain is known to him. David even says in Psalm 38 verse 9 that our sighing is not hidden from the Lord. Suffering that you might carry and might never speak about or share to another living soul is known by the Lord. He hears your sighs. He sees every tear that you shed. He knows, he sees, he cares. For Zechariah and Elizabeth, this suffering would have been made much worse by a common belief among Jewish people at that time that to be childless was some kind of a punishment or a curse from God, probably for some sin you'd committed. Now, we can see this in Elizabeth's response when she does conceive John the Baptist. She talks about God taking away her disgrace among the people. In Luke 1:25, there are still some parts of the world today where people still see childlessness as a curse or punishment from God. But on a wider note, particularly within Pentecostal charismatic churches, there can be a lingering belief that any kind of suffering that we experience in our lives is an indication that God is not pleased with us, that he is maybe withholding his blessing or he is punishing us for something. Now, there is, of course, always a possibility that anything that we experience in our lives is part of the discipline of God in our lives. There is always the potential that we are suffering consequences of our own actions, even our own sins. But much of the suffering in our lives does not have such clear-cut reasons. Many, and this is the truth, many of the people that I have ministered to over the years have had their private suffering added to by well-meaning but misinformed Christians who have suggested if you do X or if you do Y, then you'll be healed of your sickness or you will have that baby or you will be relieved of that suffering or that person in your family will be saved. Friends, may God give us all the wisdom and sensitivity, and as we heard last week, an instructed tongue before we presume to speak into anybody else's suffering. The Jewish priesthood at this time that we're talking about this morning was huge. There were literally thousands of priests. And because of the large numbers, they were divided into these divisions of 24. And each division was just on duty in the temple 2 weeks each year. So most priests had ordinary jobs, didn't even live in Jerusalem. And then they came to Jerusalem for their turn. So it was Zechariah's turn to be on duty. Many jobs to do in the temple. One of these jobs, one of these duties, was to burn incense on the altar in the holy place. It was done both morning and evening. To decide which priest got to do that, they drew lots. That was the tradition at the time. Now, that's just a little detail in the story here. But I love this little detail because it shows yet again how God is in control of the seemingly random or chance events. Casting lots is a bit like throwing a dice. It's a random or chance outcome. But in the life of a believer, nothing is ever random, chance, or coincidence. God is in control of even the seemingly random. And so it was here in the life of Zechariah. God knew that when they drew lots, the lot would fall to Zechariah. And it was God's opportunity to bring him this most amazing news. Now, of course, Zechariah was oblivious to that. But he knew it was an incredible privilege to go and burn incense at the altar. A priest was only ever allowed to do this once in their whole lifetime. So I'm sure Zechariah was preparing to go, a mixture of nerves and excitement. And the outside the temple, the worshippers were all there gathered and they were praying. They were waiting to be blessed. This day they're waiting. They're waiting on the blessing from Zechariah, but he's not coming out. He's taken forever in there. They're thinking, what's happened? Has God judged him and he's fallen down dead or something? But you know, here was Zechariah as he's burning incense on this altar. And as this incense was rising up, because he would pour the incense on the altar, and a column of smoke would be rising up. And it was symbolic of prayers going up to God. And when that was happening, the priest, he was praying when that was happening. And as he was burning this incense, suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared beside him. Zechariah, obviously scared out of his wits. It'd been a long time in Jewish history since the angel of the Lord appeared to anybody. I mean, it wasn't a common occurrence. And after the angel told him, don't be afraid, he said, your prayer has been heard. I wonder in that moment what prayer Zechariah thought of. It's not recorded in the Bible what prayer he'd been praying at that moment, but we can pretty sure it wasn't a personal prayer. It was certainly not a prayer for a baby. When the priest was burning incense, it wasn't time for personal prayers. They were praying for Israel, and very particularly, they were praying for the coming of the Messiah to deliver the people. Zechariah and Elizabeth were old. For many years now, they had not been praying for a baby. Elizabeth was well past childbearing years. They had both resigned themselves to the will of God, that for whatever reason, God had not allowed them to have children. So I'm not sure what prayer Zechariah thought that the angel was referring to, but before he had a chance to think any more about it, the angel said, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you're to give him the name John. And the angel then went on to speak about this baby that would be born. I want to just bring out a couple of things this morning. God's answers sometimes come at a surprising time. You really couldn't get much more surprising than this. This is a prayer that they would have been praying many years ago, but they would have prayed it for many years. There was a time in their life when this was their constant prayer, a fervent prayer, a prayer I'm sure prayed with many tears. Each month they would wait to see, has God answered our prayer? And each month the same, disappointed. God didn't seem to answer that prayer. This morning, is there any prayer that God has brought to your mind that you've stopped praying because it seems that God isn't going to answer that prayer? Maybe you were praying for a friend, for a family member, for some personal issue, and you've just given up thinking, well, it's never going to happen. Is God speaking a word of hope into your heart this morning that your prayer has been heard? For Zechariah, it's a surprising time because they're both past it in terms of having a baby, but God's ways and God's timing is perfect. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, for me, one of the most important insights I've gained from this passage is this. That both Zechariah and Elizabeth at this point understood and accepted God's way is perfect. They may not have understood God's way. God's way may have been a bitter cup to drink, but they did not allow the disappointment of personal unanswered prayer to harden their hearts against God. They continued to love the Lord, to follow him closely. The Bible says they were blameless and upright towards God. And now, at this late stage, God is going to answer because this moment is the right time in God's plan for the son to be born. He's not going to be an ordinary child. Absolutely not. John the Baptist. Yes, he will bring joy and delight to them, but he is going to be the last in the line of the Old Testament prophets. Jesus called him the greatest one to be born of woman, the forerunner of Jesus Christ himself. So in some ways, God's answering two prayers at once. He's answering Zechariah's prayer in the temple for the Messiah to come. He's answering that prayer, and he's answering their personal prayer to have a son. This has encouraged me. I know it has. Some of the prayers I've prayed over the years have been self-interested, selfish maybe, prayers about things to make me happy, maybe short-sighted prayers. Some of them have not been answered, but God has a bigger purpose. God will answer prayers in his time for his purpose in ways that we could never foresee. And then secondly and finally this morning, no prayer to God is wasted. I want us to think a few moments this morning about the altar of incense, twice a day, morning and evening, it was offered up. It was the place of prayer, but only priests were allowed to burn this incense before God. The other worshippers had to gather outside to pray. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, when a sacrifice was made for the sins of the people, the high priest would take some blood of the sacrifice. He would go into the most holy place and he would take some of that blood and pour it out on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies or the most holy place. Then he would come out from behind the altar And he would come to the holy place here at this incense altar, and he would put some blood on the four horns of the altar of incense. It's a picture showing that only through the forgiveness bought by sacrificial blood could prayers be heard. Now, as you know, all of these Old Testament practices are symbolic. They are pictures of the work of Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. He entered into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, through the curtain, not that physical curtain, through the curtain that is his body. And he poured out his own blood. He poured out his own blood so that we who have received forgiveness of sins can now pray to God and be heard. How wonderful this is. And Jesus still is appearing for us in God's presence. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. So that temple in Jerusalem with all those different rooms and places, that was the human, it was made with human hands. But here is telling us it was only a copy of the true temple. Jesus entered into that true temple by the blood of Christ. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. And Hebrews 7:25, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Why? Because he always lives to intercede for them. What a verse. In the book of Revelations, there are two references to the golden bowls of incense. Revelation 5:8 and Revelation 8:3-4. The incense is described as the prayers of the saints. What a beautiful picture. When we pray to God, sometimes we just think we're just talking, or the prayers are hitting the ceiling, or our prayers are going nowhere, especially if we don't get a speedy answer. But no, friends, our prayers are rising up as incense before God. You know, one of the wee comments I love from this whole story is that although God took a long time to answer their prayer, God had a much bigger plan for the answer for their long-awaited baby than they could ever imagine. He was of national and global significance, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And yet, in that big picture, there's this personal touch. He would be a joy and delight to his parents. And when you see little Sophie and Jessica this morning, little babies and children, that is what they are. Maybe not at 3 a.m. looking for a feed. They're maybe not a joy and delight, but they are a joy and delight to their parents. God had heard their personal prayer, and he was answering in this personal way. So I pray this morning that God, by his Spirit, will have reminded you that every prayer that you pray, it's rising up as incense to God. In heaven, there are golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. I pray that you will be encouraged to keep praying by faith, knowing that your prayers, if offered from a forgiven heart in the name of Jesus, are being heard by God. Never forget, his ways are perfect. His timing is perfect. He knows the big picture that we can't see, But be on the lookout for God's surprising answers to your prayers in maybe a bigger way than you were expecting. Let's pray together. Your prayer has been heard. Holy Spirit, speak into our hearts today and remind us of something that maybe that we have stopped praying for, we've kind of given up on and thinking, that's just never going to happen. Or we've grown discouraged, weary praying that same prayer. Remind us this morning, Lord, of those golden bowls full of incense, the prayers of the saints that are in heaven. And Lord, I pray today, I pray that you would reignite faith in our hearts, that you are answering prayer, and that even over these next weeks and months, that within our fellowship, we would see more answered prayer. Lord, we give you thanks today that after 14 years of marriage, Heather and Stephen, their prayers were answered, and we see these two beautiful children here today as evidence of your faithfulness and goodness. We say thank you, Lord. Nothing is too difficult for you. Grant us faith, Lord, to keep believing, keep praying. In Jesus' name, amen. Your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com. Give me faith to trust what you